Your voice on America's News Talk, The Pledge, with Gene Parker and Nancy DeBoer. Your opinion and your voice matters. Call now and share your voice. 931-1276. That's 931-1276. Uplifting, inspiring conversation about God, your community, and you. Your voice, the heart and soul of the Lakeshore. On America's News Talk, The Pledge.
Temperatures into the 90s here in West Michigan today. Very hot outside. It was hot yesterday. Jason in Washington talking about the economy.
It's always a few degrees warmer there, right?
Yes, it is.
It's not so much the heat, it's the humidity. And on the phone to talk to us about what happened yesterday in Washington is Congressman Bill Huizenga. Thanks for being with us today, Congressman.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Yesterday, Ben Bernanke marched up to the Hill yesterday. It's probably the last time he'll do that, right?
Well, the president is going to have to make a decision whether he's going to reappoint Mr. Bernanke as chair of the Fed again. He's kind of indicated that that probably isn't going to be happening. But Ben Bernanke has been chairman of the Fed at probably some of the most tumultuous times that we've seen in the American economy since literally the Great Depression. So he's been in for a rough ride, and I'm sure he wouldn't mind a few days off.
Well, you wouldn't mind if he had a few days off, too.
Well, you know, as I said to him yesterday, there is no one who doubts his desire to help the U.S. economy. Yeah. I think he is in a very tight spot, difficult spot, dealing with an administration that's trying to go in a very different direction than where I think it needs to go. He feels sort of out of tools in the toolbox, which is why they had to go and do the quantitative easing, where they bought back the government bonds when there was no one else to buy them. The government bought them, and that is what brought us the interest rates and mortgages and student loans and car loans and all those other things, trying to spur the economy along. But at some point or another, we can't be too worried about Wall Street. We got to be more worried about Main Street here, and that really is my focus.
Congressman, on some level, it appears that the economy is recovering, but yet you say that these casualties, you call them forgotten casualties, are often buried in government statistics. What do you mean by that?
Well, we know that when we see the unemployment rates published, it's about 7.5 right now, 7.5% nationally. We know, and labor statistics will tell us, it's much higher. You have to dig a little deeper. But when you include people that are either underemployed, part-time, or frankly below where they had been before, as well as the people who have given up and are now off of the system, their unemployment has run out and those kinds of things, the unemployment rate is much, much higher. It's more like double what it currently is. And at the height of our unemployment, and we were knocking on the door of 20% total and underemployment. So that's sort of those unforgotten people that are buried in the statistics, and we've got to talk about them and to them and try to help them.
You talked yesterday about government-based solutions, which is what Bernanke has been taking, instead of employing a market-based approach. Tell us the difference between a government-based and a market-based approach, and why you think a market-based approach would help some of these casualties a little bit better than the other approach.
Well, in the long run, we know that we have to have a marketplace based on the free market, not government intervention. And I believe that they've been sort of tying themselves in knots, trying to do anything and everything that they can to keep government involved and engaged. And now we see that when we're talking about disengaging at all, there are people in government who are trying to cry foul. They want to see this expansion of government, whether it is through stimulative spending or quote-unquote stimulative spending. All these shovel-ready jobs that even the president admitted weren't actually shovel-ready. We just threw money around, and the consequence is the debt that we are accumulating, over $17 trillion now. $17 trillion. We hit that number just back a few days ago. And it's stunning. For the long-term health here, we need to make sure that we've got a healthy private sector. That's where wealth and prosperity are created, not through the government sector. Those jobs are created through our tax dollars.
Is there a clicker someplace with that number that keeps going up? Is it just...
I saw it on the video that you sent around. It's clicking not by the dollars or tens of dollars or hundreds. It's clicking by the tens of thousands of dollars per second.
Every second?
Yes. Yeah. You can't even see the $100 bills being floated away in Washington. It's $10,000 bills per second.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I was sitting in committee back a few weeks ago when it was still in the upper $16 trillion range, and I was looking at the numbers, and what happens is we put that up in the committee room as sort of a clicker on either side. We've got some big screen TVs that are in the committee room. It's a pretty big room, and I was sitting there and I was trying to see how many numbers I had to go to the left until I could finally actually discern 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, yeah, all the numbers. And as you point out, Jason, I mean, it's tens per second, basically, before you can actually discernibly see the numbers click one at a time versus, you know, them flying by. And, you know, that is really disheartening for not just us, but for future generations.
Sure. If Ben Bernanke has been working really hard to solve this problem and he's been involving the government more, but yet he hasn't been able to find a solution to the problem, is it time for him to go?
You know, again, that is up to the president. The guy has been in a no-win situation in a way, and at the end of the day, it's an economic philosophy of government intervention versus allowing the marketplace to take care of this. And you know, the modern way of doing that, you know, sort of Keynesian economics is government intervention. But even Keynes, I think, would have blushed at the aggressiveness of this administration, at the money that they threw at it. And at the end of the day, everybody's on the same team. But we've got different groups trying to go in different directions. And so, you know, and obviously he's been having to carry out where the administration's trying to go. So, you know, pretty clearly, though, I don't think he's going to be there based on the comments from the president.
Let's talk a little bit about Obamacare. I mean, this $17 trillion that's counting off now on the debt doesn't even include most of what's going to be added because of Obamacare. As we get closer and closer to full implementation, what's really going to start happening to that ticker? Are we going to start seeing hundreds of thousands of dollars tick off?
Yeah, that is going to be a huge expansion again of government spending. The problem is we're having such a difficult time getting there. No kidding. A lot of us told them that was what was going to happen. Oh, yeah. And, you know, yesterday when we passed a delay in the 1 year for the employer mandate, the president was trying to do, I might add, I believe unconstitutionally, by saying that employers don't have to fulfill the timeline of when this had to be implemented. We felt it was only fair that we do the exact same thing for individuals. Yeah. That obviously caused a few wrinkles over on the other side of the aisle. But, you know, at the end of the day, that is where the rubber hits the road, implementation. And there has not been a good way of implementing it yet so far, and I don't think that there will be. Just even look at what's happening in Michigan. We don't have consensus on how these healthcare exchanges are going to be set up. And they're going to need to figure that out in a big hurry. One of the parts of it, I think wisely so, was all the and their staff have to go into their state exchanges. Only problem is I don't have one yet. So I have no idea what my own family's health care is going to be like, but I think that's a good thing because, you know, Congress is having to live with the consequences of the decisions that they made. Now, obviously, I wasn't here when it was implemented. I'm just living with the echo effects of it, and we need to fix this.
Go ahead, Jason. Yeah, well, you're saying that $17 trillion, we have an overspending addiction in this country. What does rehab look like for our country?
Well, we're trying to do that, and we are on a battleship. We're not on a Four Winds or a, you know, Boston Whaler here.
Yeah, you can't stop.
Be able to turn. Yeah, I mean, where you can't just turn the wheel and whip around and go back the other direction. It's going to take some time. There's a lot of promises that have been made to people, and we're going to have to fulfill some of those, and some of those are, you know, people are going to have to be disappointed a bit, and, you know, some of the contracts that the government has signed with, you know, whatever it is, defense contractors and others. But we need to start putting in place not just short-term solutions. It's more than just about what we're going to be doing with this coming year's budget. It's how are we setting the predicate and how are we setting the parameters of our spending long-term. That is, that's really where I think we need to do the heavy lifting and the difficult work. We need to do both. You know, we need that short-term, but we also need to look at the medium-term and the long-term, what that spending is going to look like. So in my mind, as we're talking about who's eligible for Medicare and Medicaid and who's eligible for Social Security when that gets put in place, you know, I'm pretty sure that Warren Buffett's going to be just A-OK whether he gets a Social Security check or
right.
not. You know?
Well, how about his secretary, though? We don't know about her.
Well, yeah, she's probably doing okay as well, but... anybody who's connected with Berkshire Hathaway and the profit sharing that they've done, she's doing just fine. But that is a key that we got to continue to tackle as a country.
Real quick, Bill, you coming into to Michigan? You gonna spend some pure Michigan time, real quick?
Oh, you got it. Looking forward to it every weekend.
All right, Congressman Bill Huizenga calling from Washington, talking about the economy this morning. Thanks for being with us on Your Voice here on America's News Talk, The Pledge.
My pleasure. Everybody, stay cool.
This hour of Your Voice on the Pledge has been brought to you by